हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रदाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने
Krishna Chaitanya
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Govijana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Govijana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya
ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಜಯ Radha Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jayam Vishupada Brahmamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotra Shada Shri Shriman Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nitila Pravishtam Vishupada Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotra Shada Shri Shriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govindana Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhurvari Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Gauranga Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Mishupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinami, Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarini, Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Ajnana Tumirandhasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabhitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadadim Sopadandiyam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahaganaregunathanvidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaidam Savadhudam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalidam Shri Vishakhanvidam Scham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagalpade Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanusude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyevacha പതിതാനം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈല പൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈക പാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാല നന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവചസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാസംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യ ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സാംഗവദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ വേദായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where we are talking about the different opulences of Krishna, Vibhuti, as it's called. So, we've seen that Krishna says that the Vrishinam Vasudevosmi, among the Vrishnis I am Vasudeva, and Pandavanam Dhananjaya, among the Pandavas I am Dhananjaya. Muninam Apyaham Vyasa, among the sages, Munis, I am Vyasadev. And Kavi Nam Ushanakavi, among the poets or the thoughtful people, I am Shukracharya. That is what we were discussing last Sunday. So, I mentioned there that the Krishna has specifically mentioned Dhananjaya or Arjuna as the among the Pandavas as Krishna. Krishna says that Pandavanam Dhananjaya. So why did this come? Why did Krishna make Arjuna as Krishna himself in the among the Pandavas? All these opulences, what you have to remember is this, that among all the great personalities, great things in this world, all great wonders, Krishna mentions that he is the best among them all. Just like Uchaishravas, Airavatam, and the sages, and also the mountains, the ocean, all these great things, anything what you find great, that is Krishna. That is how the first step in the moment, in the process of realizing Krishna in this world. The first step is to see everything what we find great in this world, that's Krishna, to identify like that. So in that process, Krishna mentions that Pandavanam Dhananjaya, among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna, Krishna says. Prior to that, Krishna says the different qualities which come from me in reference to the society. Krishna mentions buddhi jnanam asamoham, buddhi intelligence, knowledge and everything, freedom from desire. All this is, Krishna says, comes from me. Similarly, while referring to women, Krishna said that kirti shri vakcha narinam smridir medha dhradikshama. All these different qualities among women, Krishna says, that's me. Now there, you will see one word mentioned, dhradi. Dhradi means, also means dhairyam. Dhairyam means courage. So, it looks, where did this, what is this reference, in reference to what? That dhradi with reference to women. Why is it mentioned like that? Kirti Shri Vakcha Narinam Smridir Medha Dhradi Kshama, Krishna says. So that dhradi, what it's referring to is that women's courage is not referring to that somebody like Joan Arc of France or Rani of Jhansi, or it is not in that respect it is mentioned here. What refers to here is that a woman's courage is the ability to give birth right to a child. To give birth to a child, that is the courage in a woman. Krishna says, I am that. So you can see, it requires a lot of courage to give birth to a child. And that can only be understood when you see the whole cycle, life cycle, in a person's life, that to carry a child in the womb for 10 months and to maintain that steadiness in life, that needs courage, Krishna says. Kirti Shri Vakcha Narinam Smridir Medha Dhruti Kshamaha. That dhruti is reference to that. That dhairyam or the courage among the women is because of this ability to give birth to a child. So after having spoken all that, Krishna mentioned about Dhananjaya, about Arjuna, and there we have seen that why Arjuna has in three different occasions how his relationship with Krishna has shown its power. In three different instances, when he decided to jump into the fire, how Krishna has protected him from that and brought him back to his glory. And all those things Arjuna has not forgotten. But is this the only reason why Krishna has mentioned about Arjuna as Pandavanam Dhananjaya? No, that's not the reason. The reason is something different than that. The reason for that is, there is a very, very strong relationship with Krishna and Arjuna's mother, Kunti Devi. That Kunti Devi is responsible for all this, what has happened to Arjuna. Not because of anything else. That relationship with Kunti Devi and Krishna, what you find in the Prathamaskandam, or for the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is if you study closely, you can understand why Krishna has spoken like that. Therefore, we will start with Kunti Sri. Kundistuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely famous. It's so famous, Kundistuti, Bhagavata Prasitama it's called. It's so famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam that it is not only something to be read through, but also to be very much reflected in oneself. One has to reflect on Kundistuti so deeply in order to understand the glory of Kundi Devi. That is the greatness of Kundi Devi that you will find in that prayers of Kundi Devi to Krishna. So, we'll read through the Kundi Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam and then we will discuss that after that. Kundi Devi, this prayers of Kunti Devi in the Srimad Bhagavatam comes in the 8th chapter of the 8th chapter of the first canto. Kunti Devi's prayers comes. Now, let's go back into the background of this Kunti Devi's prayers. Because sometimes you may not notice these things in the Bhagavatam unless you inquire about this, why it has happened like this, why it was spoken like this. All these questions do come up when you take a lot more interest in the Bhagavatam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, before this Kunti Devi's prayers happened, we have to go back to Mahabharatam to find out the background of this whole scene. How did it all developed into this situation? prior to Kunti Devi glorifying Krishna, in the Mahabharata, there was a number of incidents that happened. After the Mahabharata war, Pandavas won the war, and then, as we talked about before, Ashwatthama killed the children of Draupadi. Children of Draupadi were killed by Ashwatthama. And that very night, when Ashwatthama has killed Draupadi's children, Pandavas and Krishna also were resting in the banks of the river Okhavadi. Okhavadi river, they were resting there. That's the night when this unfortunate incident happened. So this incident happened, and the next day, when Draupadi came to know about what has happened, Arjuna and Krishna went to get hold of Ashwatthama. They caught him and brought him back to Draupadi. We discussed that before in the first canto also, what happened at that time, that initially Draupadi wanted Ashwatthama to be killed, and sitting on the head of Ashwatthama, Draupadi wanted that Arjuna should perform the final rites for those children who died. But when Ashwatthama came, Draupadi's mood changed. It became more of compassion for Ashwatthama, and told Krishna and to Arjuna to release him. Muchyadam, muchyadam, he says. So, all these incidents were spoken in the Mahabharatam, but they are brought into Bhagavatam for one reason only. You may wonder why all this whole story has to be brought back into Bhagavatam. There is only one reason for that, and that reason is that Krishna wanted to show to this world the glory of Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit's glory want to be understood by the people. Vedavyasa Maharshi has spent so much energy to bring everything back from Bhagavatam to Mahabharatam to Bhagavatam, just for this one reason and one reason alone, to show to us the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. The greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. You will understand that as we go through this whole incident, how it happened. So Ashwatthama was punished and sent away. Ashwatthama was punished and sent away by Arjuna and Krishna. He was sent away. So when Ashwatthama was gone, and Maharaj Parikshit, normally people have this misunderstanding about Parikshit, that he has come and sat in near the river, Ganga River, just because he got frightened of death. In 7 days' time, he was going to die, isn't it? That was the curse given to him by the Brahmana boy, the sage's son. Shamidrishi's son has given this curse to Parikshit Maharaj that in 7 days' time, he has to die. So, people have this impression that Parikshit got frightened of death, and therefore, he came and sat down to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? That is how most of the people think about it. No, it is not. That's not the reason for that. Parikshit Maharaj was not like us, an ordinary soul, in the sense that normally in this world, if somebody changes their lifestyle, say suddenly one starts getting up early in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then he starts going to the temple for Mangalarati or for attending some program at the temple, and he start chanting Hare Krishna and started reading Srimad Bhagavatam. You know what others will talk about it? They will say, what has happened to him? What has gone wrong with him? There must be some reason he started getting up so early in the morning. There must be something wrong with that person. This is the nature of this world. It is quite common all over the world. It is the same story. It's not different. That most of the people are satisfied in their normal life of eating, sleeping, sex life and defense. That is what generally means, isn't it? The life is like that. Ahara nidra bhayamaidhunanja samanyamethal. So these are samanya. These are general things for anyone. But when someone changes that and takes to a different lifestyle, immediately people start asking, what has happened to that person? What has gone wrong in his life? So there must be some reason. Otherwise nobody does all these things. That's how people will comment about that. So, did Parikshit come to Ganga River in this mood? Did he come there because he also had some fear or some need No, Parikshit didn't do that. That was not the reason why Parikshit had come. For example, fasting on Ekadashi day. Ekadashi day, normally people fast, isn't it? Many people, devotees fast on Ekadashi day. There are two ways of fasting on Ekadashi. What are they? One, if you have nothing to eat at home, you are forced to fast, isn't it? You are forced to fast on Ekadashi day. There is another way of fasting it. You have everything at home, plenty of food to eat, and plenty of sumptuous prasadam at home. Still you are fasting. Still you are fasting on Ekadashi day. So either you fast from not having anything, or you fast from having everything, the result is the same. There is no difference in the result. But Parikshit Maharaj's case, he has taken to this prayobhavesham, or to give up his body in this way, it's only for one reason. He had everything with him. He had everything. Whatever he wanted, he had with him. And he could have counteracted the curse also. But in spite of all that, Parikshit Maharaj had come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj, we must not misunderstand that he took to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam out of fear. No, Parikshit had no such fear. He took to Srimad Bhagavatam realizing about the time, what was left behind was more valuable than anything else. Not because of death, but let me use that time for serving Krishna. That desire and attachment for Krishna. So just to glorify Parikshit Maharaj's position as the first class supreme devotee in the Bhagavatam, all these Mahabharata stories have been brought back. We'll see how that happens. Ashwatthama killed the children of Draupadi. After that, Ashwatthama went away. After going away, Ashwatthama's revenge has not gone from inside. That hate and the revenge mood was not going away from Ashwatthama's mind. So what did Ashwatthama do? Ashwatthama went back and sent the Brahmastram again. He says in the Bhagavatam like this, Apandavam idam kartam drauneyastram abhudyadah. Apandavam idam kartam. I want to make this world free from Pandavas. Apandavam. Apandavam idam kartam drauneyastram abhudyadah. That was the whole intention or goal in the mind of Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama goes away and sends this Brahmastram again to kill, if this baby who is left in the Uttaradevi's womb, he should be killed. This was so that there is not even a slight life left in this from the Pandava family. Once for all, they are completely uprooted from this world. This was that revenge in Ashwatthama's mind. That was so strong in his mind that he wanted to send this Brahmastram and kill this child in the Uttaradevi's womb. So let us understand Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, this revenge and this hate in Ashwatthama's mind was so strong, it forced him to act like this, in this way. Sometimes in this world, when you find somebody is giving you a lot of trouble, that means it becomes really a difficult time if someone makes it like that for you. We will sometimes curse him to such an extent. We will even curse him. Let this man go and die. Let him suffer in his whole life. Let him starve all the time. Let him get all the disease and let him die at the end. This way we curse. We curse somebody sometimes, at least within ourselves, if it gets worse, isn't it? We do that. I'm sure, I don't know about others. If it comes to that stage, we'll curse like that. Now, in the Mahabharatam and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take and look at both literature, if Krishna has felt angry against anyone in Mahabharatam or in the Bhagavatam, not even to Duryodhanam, Krishna has felt this. But Krishna never felt angry with anyone. Never. Not once Krishna has got angry. But if ever you feel in Krishna's words even the slightest slightest feeling or unhappiness in Krishna's words, it is this Ashwatthama. If Krishna has thought what I said, mention this. If Krishna has thought this against anyone in this whole world, it is this Ashwatthama. Nobody else. Nobody else is so, how qualified he is, you can imagine. How qualified Ashwatthama is. To get hated by Krishna to that extent. Then let him go and, but the unfortunate thing is, he won't die also. He is a Chiranjeevi, what can you do? So Ashwatthama has created this situation. Krishna couldn't say anything about it. Krishna couldn't say anything about it. But in Krishna's mind, this was very strong. You can see that in the Mahabharata and Bhagavatam also. That nowhere else Krishna has shown this unhappiness as much as he has shown towards Ashwatthama. Now, when you read all these things, you may think that, do we have to hate Ashwatthama like that? No, that is not the purpose behind it. We are not supposed, but this has been put in by Vedavyasa Maharshi to teach us something. Whole of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and all is for us, not for Ashwatthama or for Duryodhana. They have come here on a different mission. They have finished the mission, they have gone back. But in order to educate the human society, that these kind of feelings like revenge and hate and anger towards another, it has to be, we have to learn the art of throwing it away at the time when once it's over, it's finished, it has to be thrown away. Just like the examples are given like this, that when you go to toilet, you go pass urine and stool. But after you have finished all the business in the toilet, you come back, you don't meditate on that, what is all I have lost there, isn't it? So, you have to, what, after that you wash your hands and legs and you come back and purify yourself and sit in some place and do something different. So, something like that, this hate and revenge in the mind is like the urine and stool of the mind. So, unless one learns to throw away this, as soon as it's finished, it has to be thrown out from there. It should not be allowed to come back. You don't have to come back and start meditating on this again and again. That is also not good. We have to wash ourselves and clean ourselves and make ourselves situated in a pure state. That is required. That is why this story of Ashwatthama is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to tell us this important point, that how Ashwatthama's mind was working, that hate and revenge that was building up inside, and how it was not, he was unable to give it up, and that continued with him. So, this in this way, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ashwatthama's presence is shown in the first canto. So, this Ashwatthama went away from there, and later on Ashwatthama was Brahmastram was taken back by Arjuna. Arjuna was instructed by Krishna how to do that. All that we have seen. Now, coming back to this story again, immediately after that, Uttaradevi was carrying Parikshit Maharaj. Uttaradevi was carrying Parikshit Maharaj. So, as soon as Ashwatthama went back, he fired the Brahmastram to kill the baby inside, to kill the baby in Uttara's womb. So, Brahmastram was sent to Uttara, and Brahmastram was almost finishing Uttaradevi. At that time, Krishna was present there in the palace. Uttaradevi came up running to Krishna, asking him for help. What did she say? Uttara uvacham. What did she say? Pahi pahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade manyam tvathavayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam abhidravadi mamisham sharastaptase so vibho kamam dakhatumam madha mame garbho nipatyadam. This is Uttaradevi's words to Krishna. Pahi pahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade manyam tvathavayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam. Uttaradevi's position, she was explaining that something is burning inside. The child is dying. Uttaradevi felt that and she came running to Krishna for shelter. At that time, Krishna decided to protect the baby. Krishna decided to get into the womb of Uttaradevi and protect Parikshit Maharaj. This is the most interesting thing here. Uttaradevi was carrying Parikshit. Krishna decided to enter into the womb of Uttaradevi and protect Parikshit from there. You may wonder why Krishna could not have sent the Sudarshana Chakram or Sudarshana disc. When Maharaj Ambarish was in trouble in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, you know that this story when happened with Maharaj Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj, when he was put into difficulties by Durvasa Muni, what did Krishna do? Krishna sent the Sudarshana Chakram. But in Parikshit Maharaj case, Krishna didn't send the Sudarshana Chakram. Rather, he himself went inside the womb and protected. In other words, to protect Parikshit, Krishna decided to suffer inside the womb of Uttaradevi for some time so that Parikshit could be protected. Why did Krishna do that? What was the reason for Krishna doing this? The reason that is that Parikshit Maharaj is going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the qualification for Parikshit. Parikshit has not heard Srimad Bhagavatam yet. Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam when he was 60 years old. At the time when Prayogavesham happened, he was almost 60 years old. At the age of 16, he took up position of the emperor of the planet. When Pandava's prasthanam happened, Mahaprasthanam, when they all walked out of the from the palace towards Himalayas to give up their body, at that time King Yudhishthira Maharaj called Parikshit and handed over the crown to him. He was just sufficiently old enough to take up the responsibility. But really administration started little later. Immediately he didn't take up the administration, the ministers were managing on his behalf. But by the age of 30, 35 or so, he started taking up the administration. And when this incident happened in Parikshit's life, he was 60 years old. Parikshit was 60 years old. So, this Parikshit is just going to be born. That means, Parikshit was going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam 60 years from then. But 60 years in advance, Krishna has decided to protect Parikshit in the womb of Uttara Devi. Why? Because only reason for that is, Parikshit was going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the importance of this particular incident. That in order to protect a devotee, especially if Krishna knows that that person is going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that protection comes much more in advance. Even before, he has not even heard Bhagavatam. You have to remember that. Parikshit has not heard Srimad Bhagavatam yet. He has not heard Srimad Bhagavatam yet. He is going to hear 60 years from now. But he is being protected today. All these things, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Only sometimes when someone is thrown at in a very difficult situation in life, very difficult situation in life, and when one finds all, there is no other escape route from the distress, what is coming through, and then he approaches Krishna with a very sincere heart, and Krishna protects him. At that time, only then he will appreciate what Krishna's shelter means. Otherwise, he won't understand that. Normally, when we discuss, Krishna is giving all protection, shelter, we will say all that through our lips. But in order to appreciate that Parikshit had this great qualification in him, that he was protected 60 years before he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, only for one reason, that he was going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. From this, we have to understand that to get an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is not an ordinary thing. It is only coming after several lifetimes of sadhana or several lifetimes of service to Krishna that Krishna gives that opportunity to someone to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And if one gets to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one should not think that it is a very it's a very simple thing. It coming out of a good fortune in life that one gets an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this particular instance now, Krishna decided to protect Parikshit at any cost. And so he decided to go in and protected Parikshit. And after that, Krishna said to Uttara Devi, go home and go and rest yourself, chant the holy name and be peaceful. Everything will be okay. Parikshit Maharaj was protected by Krishna like this. This is the greatest message in this. This is the important message in this. That even if you have not, heard Srimad Bhagavatam, if there is a desire inside, or if one gets an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to remember this in the mind, that this opportunity has come after several lifetimes of service to Krishna. Otherwise it would not have happened, of hearing an opportunity to hear Krishna. We may simplify, we may think of it in a different way, but that's another thing. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam and this incident of Maharaj Parikshit is only to show that while a Sudarshana Chakram could have saved Parikshit from there, Krishna himself felt that he is going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore Parikshit Maharaj should be protected at any cost. Krishna decided to go within the womb. So that is the important message there. So when all these things have happened, Krishna stayed back in Hastinapur. He didn't go back to Dwaraka. By now, Mahabharata war was over. And normally you would have expected Krishna would have gone back straight away. Isn't it? The war was over. Pandavas have got everything what they wanted. They were established as the emperors of this world, the whole planet. And they were in the commanding position in every way. All their distress was over. Everything was going very well. Now Parikshit has also been protected. And you would have normally thought that Krishna was should have gone back by now to Dwaraka. But Krishna didn't go back. Krishna stayed back in Hastinapur. Meanwhile, what happened was, in Dwaraka, a small thing started developing in a different way. People started talking to each other, why Krishna is not coming back to Dwaraka? There was a lot of talk going on, rumors and speculations of going on in Dwaraka all over, why Krishna didn't come back. So somebody left out a rumor saying that that Abhimanyu got killed in the battlefield, isn't it? Abhimanyu is Subhadra's son. Arjuna and Subhadra, their son was Abhimanyu. So, Abhimanyu got killed in the war. Why did Krishna not protect Abhimanyu? This question people started asking. After all, Krishna has so much, such a capacity to conduct a whole war, Mahabharata war, and get the Pandavas through, protected Pandavas all the way through. But how come now that he could not protect Abhimanyu? This question came up in Dwaraka. They started talking about it. The news somehow reached the palace in Vasudeva and Devaki's ears also. And they were also thinking that, after all, Abhimanyu is Krishna's nephew, Subhadra Devi's son. Subhadra is Krishna's sister. So, Krishna should have naturally protected Abhimanyu in a natural way. After all, if he wanted, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if Krishna wants to protect Abhimanyu, it shouldn't have been difficult. Why did he not protect Abhimanyu? So, this rumor started building up, and perhaps Krishna is staying away from Dwaraka for one reason. So because he didn't protect Abhimanyu, if Krishna comes back to Dwaraka, Vasudeva and Devaki will ask Krishna, why did you not protect Abhimanyu? If they ask that question, there is no answer to that. Krishna had no answer to give. So they started thinking that Krishna doesn't want to come back, thinking that maybe after some time, this will be forgotten. This issue will not become very serious. Because straight away after the war, this was in their mind. But after some time, due to the effect of time, influence of time, it will go away. This is what in the mind of the Vasudeva and Devaki thought, that Krishna has probably this in mind. And that is why he was not coming back to Dwaraka. This came up like this in Dwaraka. So what did Vasudeva and Devaki do? Vasudeva and Devaki decided to send Uddhava and Satyaki to Hastinapur to bring Krishna back, to tell Krishna that there is no unhappiness in Dwaraka of what has happened. Krishna doesn't have to bother. He should come back now to Dwaraka. Krishna's case better not to say. 16,108 wives in Dwaraka. They are all waiting for Krishna to come back. 10 children from each one of them. Each one of the 16,108 wives. And their grandchildren. Krishna had such a householder life. No other householder in this world had a householder life like Krishna had. And with all this prarabdham behind, Krishna is still finding time to fight a war and to enjoy life with Pandavas elsewhere. So all these things were going through the minds of the people there in Dwaraka. Was so opulent at that time. Krishna was holding back. But Vedavyasa Maharshi says this was all higher plans happening behind that, where Krishna had different plans in his mind. What was the plan? When Uddhava and Satyaki arrived there, Uddhava and Satyaki arrived there to get Krishna to take him back to Dwaraka, Krishna decided he will go back with them. Krishna decided to go back with them. But while before going back, Krishna wanted to say farewell to everybody, isn't it? There is a system like that before you leave. After a long time, Krishna had come to Hastinapur for quite some time now and spent a lot of time with the Pandavas and Kunti Devi and others, and they are the only people left now. Most of the others have died in the war, battle, in the war. So first personality whom Krishna had to bid farewell or to was Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi, Krishna had to go and see her. So Krishna goes to see Kunti Devi to say goodbye to her. So when Krishna went to see Kunti Devi, there was a little different situation now. Kunti Devi, as soon as she saw Krishna, she wanted to pay obeisances to Krishna. She wanted to pay a full obeisances to Krishna. Krishna says to Kunti Devi, asking, Krishna's aunt is Kunti Devi, isn't it? Vasudeva's sister. So Krishna is addressing Kunti Devi to the aunt and saying to her, what is this all about? So far never it used to be like this. Kunti Devi never used to pay obeisances to Krishna any time before. But this was the first time Kunti Devi decided to pay full obeisances to Krishna. If you read in the Bhagavatam, you'll say, Namasye purusham tvadyam ishwaram pragrade param alakshyam sarvabhudanam antarbahiravastidam mayajavanigachannam ajnathokshajamavyayam nalakshase moodhadrisho nato natyadharo yathah. That Kunti Devi's reason for paying obeisances, asked, Aunt, what are you up to now? Why all these obeisances? Krishna says to Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi says to Krishna, it's a little different story now. You must remember what was happening in the palace at that time. Only a few minutes back, Uttara Devi's child was going to be killed. And Kunti Devi knew the child is dead. It's finished. Uttara Devi said, when I touched the stomach, there was no movement of the baby, and also she was feeling very cold inside. So Uttara Devi concluded more or less that the baby is dead. And she said this to Draupadi and Kunti Devi. And they have also realized that the baby is dead. Because the weapon that was sent by Ashwatthama, Brahmastram, was enough to kill a little baby, was not difficult. So they have almost concluded that the child is gone. It was then that Uttara Devi came running. Pahi pahi maha yogin deva deva jagal pade nanyam tvadhvayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam. Uttara Devi came and started crying, and Krishna entered into the womb and protected the child and told Uttara Devi everything is okay. So when Kunti Devi had witnessed all these things only a few minutes ago, and her mind has changed by now. Up to that time, it was my elder brother's son, Vasudev's son. That was Kunti Devi's understanding. That Krishna, who is Krishna? Krishna is my brother's son. So he is my nephew. That was the relationship. But now, suddenly it has changed to Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishvara Prakrade Param Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Andarbahiravastidam Maya Javanigachannam Ajnado Akshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Moodhadrisho Nado Natyadharo Yada. So when Kunti Devi paid obeisances to Krishna, Krishna's first question is, why this obeisances to me? What have I done? What is so different today? This is not an usual thing. It's a completely unusual thing that you are paying obeisances to me. And this is not proper also by age and my aunt, and the relationship is different. So Kunti Devi says there, at that time, Kunti Devi says to Krishna, let me say a few words now. Kunti Devi says to Krishna like this. Tatha paramahamsanam uninam amalalpanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema histriya. Up to this time, I have been thinking about you as my nephew. That is the way I have thought. My brother's son, Vasudev's son, is Krishna. That is the way I have thought about you. But now I cannot think like that anymore. Why? What has happened now is different. What was that? Tatha paramahamsanam uninam amalalpanam. Great sages and great yogis, they go to the forest to meditate on you, to get an understanding or realization of you. They go to the forest. Yadha paramahamsanam muninam amalalpanam. Amalalpanam means one who is in the very pure consciousness, pure God, mode of goodness. They go to the forest to meditate on Krishna so that at least they will have a vision of Krishna. Even they do not understand you. Kunti Devi says to Krishna, Yadha paramahamsanam muninam amalalpanam bhakti yoga vidhanatham katham pashyema histriya. If they do not understand you, what chance is there me, a woman, can understand you? How can I? Katham pashyema histriya. How will I understand who is just an ordinary woman in this world? So in other words, Kunti Devi answered Krishna saying that, because I didn't know your glories, who you were before, but now I know who you are. And because at this moment I understand you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, let me pay my obeisances to you. Because this thought never occurred to me in my mind before. I have always thought in a different way, that you are my nephew. And I was not taking that in a bodily relationship, I related with you. But today I have understood you are not my nephew actually. Actually you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the fault is not mine. I am just a woman. Katham pashyema histriyaha. I am just an ordinary person. Great sages and yogis who go to forest and meditate thousands of years to realize you, they don't understand you. Or what chance have I got to know who you are? This is how Kunti Devi answered that. Krishna smiled. When Krishna heard all this, Krishna smiled. So Krishna says to Kundidevi, okay, if you want to pay obeisances to me, how do you want to pay obeisances to me? Do you want to think of me as your brother's son? Or do you want to think of me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as you say I am? In which way do you want to pay your obeisances to me? Kundidevi got confused at that time. Completely confused. Whether I should say this or that. Because the the happiness one gets by paying obeisances to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is different than the Kundidevi thought that. If it is Supreme Personality of God, if I think that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all I can do is only one thing. What can I do? I can stand away with my folded hands like this, pay my obeisances and keep full of respect and stay back from Krishna. That's all you can do. But if I think that Krishna is my brother's son, more it's like a nephew, then I can take Krishna and keep him on my lap and hug him. And because Krishna and Arjuna in Kundidevi's eyes, they were similar age, and they were both of them, Kundidevi used to see them as the same as her own son. Krishna and Arjuna were not different for Kundidevi. Both of them were very close to Kundidevi. So that relationship was different, where Kundidevi got an opportunity to embrace Krishna and also to talk to him freely. There was a different relationship. So after thinking for a while, one way or the other, eventually Kuntidevi decided and told Krishna that let me pay my obeisances thinking of you as my elder brother's son, because there is some relationship like that, and that relationship will get better. Actually, why this is spoken in the Bhagavatam like this is, the reason, there is a reason behind everything. It's not that Vedavyas write some stories like this, somebody else is, no, the reason is this. In actually, Vedavyas is saying that in this world, what is actually lacking is not Krishna. It's not Krishna's presence. Krishna is there. Only problem what we have is, we are not able to find a relationship with Krishna. That is the problem. That is why we are so far away from Krishna. No relationship is building up inside between us and Krishna. All the time we are saying Krishna is different, I am different, I have my relatives, Krishna has come and gone 5,000 years ago. Unfortunately, that relationship between us and Krishna is not getting established. That is the main problem. And because of that, we find everything very, very difficult. Unless and until there is a relationship with Krishna and the devotee, that relationship has to come somehow. Just to show that, in the Bhagavatam, Kundidevi says that, let me see you as my brother's son. Because there is a relationship there. Krishna eva sudevayam devaki nandanayaja nandagovakumaraya govindaya namo namam. Immediately, Krishna decided to, Kundidevi decided to mention a few things. Krishna ayava sudevaya devaki nandanayaja Devaki Devi's son, Krishna, Vasudeva's son, Vasudeva, Nanda Govakumaraya, Nanda Maharaj's son, Govindaya namo nama, to Govinda, that Krishna, let me pay my obeisances. Saying like that, Kundi Devi paid her obeisances to Krishna at that time. Krishna at that time. Now, you have to remember, there is one person left out here. One person is left out here. Vasudeva and Devaki is mentioned. Nanda Maharaj is mentioned. Why not Yashoda? Why? What is the reason? Why Yashoda was not mentioned there? Kuntidevi spoke this verse. Krishna aya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanayaja Nanda Gova Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namam. After Krishna has spoken this verse, after this verse was spoken by Kuntidevi, Krishna looked at Kuntidevi and gave the impression to Kundidevi that something has gone wrong in your prayers. That why was Yashoda Devi left out? And Kundidevi immediately clicked that in her mind. It came to her mind that Yashoda Devi was left out. So straight after that, you will find a little later, Kundidevi spoke about that separately. Only for one whole verse, just to glorify Kundidevi, just to glorify Yashoda Devi. What you have to remember here is, that the first time Kundidevi met Krishna was on the day when Krishna was tied to the mortar by Yashoda Devi. If you remember, in the Bhagavatam we spoke about this. The day when Yashoda Devi was in terrible situation, in a very critical condition, so to say, that the day Krishna was tied to the mortar and Yashoda Devi had a very hard day dealing with Krishna. That was the first day when Kunti Devi saw Krishna. And the same day when Kunti Devi arrived to see Krishna, Krishna was tied to the mortar, standing there fully punished by Yashoda Devi, and all the gopis were present there. They were enjoying the scene because, having experienced so much problem from Krishna, they wanted to have Krishna punished by Yashoda Devi, and they were witnessing that scene. And that was the time when Kunti Devi arrives on the scene with her sister, that is Shishubala's mother. They all came together to see Krishna. So that day, that day when Kunti Devi came, Krishna was not in a very happy mood to see Kunti Devi. Krishna thought, is this the only day you could find to come and see me in this condition, when I am standing here with a lot of complaints against me, I'm being punished like this, you couldn't find another day better? But Kunti Devi enjoyed all that, and that scene, what Kunti Devi has seen Krishna on that day, was going through her mind very strongly. Therefore, in the prayers, Kunti Devi said, Gopya dadau, Gopya dadetu ikrudaga siddhama taval, yade dashashru kalila anjana sambhamaksham, vaktram miniya bhaya bhavanaya astidasya samam vimohayadi bhirabhiyal bhibedi. That day what happened, Kunti Devi says that yade dashashru kalila anjana sambhamaksham. When Kunti Devi came there, what was Krishna doing? Tears were coming from Krishna's eyes, all full of crocodile tears. Yade dashashru kalila anjana sambhamaksham, and completely rubbed all the eyes, and all the kajal, or what that they have put it in the eyes, that was all spread everywhere throughout the face, looked completely in a dressed up for some carnival or something. That was the scene that day. And throughout, on the mortar, tied to the mortar, Yashoda Devi is tied to the mortar, and all the gopis standing around and making fun of Krishna for what has happened, and saying to Krishna that he deserved this very much. And Yashoda Devi also was not in a very comfortable situation. That is when Kunti Devi arrived. So Krishna says, and that day Kunti Devi has not forgotten what happened. Gopya dadau daikrudaga siddhama daval, yade eda shashu kalilanjana sambramaksham, vaktram miniya bhayabhavanaya astidasyam. That time, bhayabhavanaya, with that fear in the face of Krishna. Krishna was expressing some fear. What is going to happen to me? Will my mother beat me now further? All this fear he was expressing, and he was crying. And to show Yashoda Devi that I am frightened of you, please don't touch me anymore. This way, that expressions in the face, all this Kunti Devi has seen. Kunti Devi is now bringing that back again here. After the Mahabharata war, after how many years? Over 60, 70 years? Kunti Devi is talking about this. Vaktram miniya bhaya bhavanaya astidasya samam vimohayadi virabiyal bhivedim. That Kunti Devi is saying there, that I have not forgotten that scene. And when I remember that scene, samam vimohayadi, I am getting completely carried away by that scene, what I saw on that day in Vrindavanam, that particular day what happened there. So Kunti Devi immediately brought Yashoda Devi in the prayers to Krishna. So after this, Kunti Devi spoke to Krishna that that the relationship between Krishna and the devotee is an important thing. When there is no relationship with Krishna and the devotee, the Krishna consciousness also doesn't go very far. It remains in a completely different level. And Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us that as long as you are a devotee, you have to have a relationship with Krishna. Some relationship is necessary. And Kunti Devi's case was, this was my brother's son, and that relationship strengthened further from there. And you will see how Krishna pulled Kunti Devi out of that illusion and brought out into the pure transcendental relationship between Krishna and the devotee. That comes later in the same prayers. So after this incident happened, so Krishna says to Kunti Devi, now what about, what is the next thing? Kunti Devi did not stop the prayers. Kunti Devi continued. Kunti Devi says to Krishna like this. Then actually, strictly speaking, Kunti Devi says to Krishna, what you have shown to me, the mercy you have shown to me before, is not has happened to anybody else before. and not happened to anyone else before. You must remember the whole in the background of the situation. In a few days from now, Kunti Devi is going to give up her body. She is preparing to leave the body. She was preparing to leave the world at that time because Mahabharata war was over. Pandavas will become the empress of this planet. At one time, only a few months ago, Kunti Devi and the five children, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhimasena and Arjuna, the three boys, Kunti Devi's children, Madri's children, Nakula and Sahadev, they were looked after by Kunti Devi. When Pandu left the world, Madri also left the world. So, giving the responsibility to Kunti Devi to look after them. Kunti Devi had no husband. And she had these five little boys with her. And they suffered so much in the hands of Duryodhana. They have suffered so much in the hands of Duryodhana. And in the forest, they were sleeping on a flat rock. There was no beds. They were just sleeping on the rock, frightened of Duryodhana. That was up to the point where Duryodhana has pushed them. In other words, they left their home. Duryodhana was chasing them, always to kill them as quickly as he could. This was Duryodhana's move. Now, who was there to help Kunti Devi? There was nobody to help. With these five little children and the mother, Kunti Devi had gone through enough in their life to experience all the distress in this world. All that was now over. Pandavas have become the empress of this world. Duryodhana and all the Kauravas are finished. And Kunti Devi was now like an empress, like a queen. She was like a very powerful personality she is now. And that is her position. It is then that she is talking like this too. But she has by now come to much higher stage of realization that she was preparing to leave. So you can imagine that change of thought happening in Kunti Devi's mind. What kind of change was happening? Kunti Devi says to Krishna that whatever you have done and whatever mercy you have shown to us or compassion you have shown to us, that is somewhat beyond anyone's imagination. You have not even shown that to your own parents. Vasudeva and Devaki did not get this mercy what I have got. Krishna says to Kunti Devi, are you not just talking something to please me, are you? Kunti Devi says, no, I am going to tell you the truth as I feel about it. And Kunti Devi started continuing. Kunti Devi says, what did Kunti Devi say then?
Yatha Krishikesha Khalena Devagi Kamsena Ruddharjiram Shucharpidaham Vimochidaham Jasahalmaja Vibho Toya Ivanathena Muhur Vibalganal.
Sahalmaja Vibho, all those children, I had to look after them. And what happened?
Vishal Mahatme Purushada Darshanal Asal Sabhayam Manavasa Krachradam.
Kunti Devi, remembering every incident, what has happened? What has happened in the past? In fact, Krishna has not protected Devaki Devi's six children. If Krishna wanted, he could have done that, isn't it? Kamsa's hands, Kamsa killed all six of them very mercilessly. But Kunti Devi says that you did not protect them at that time. You didn't protect them, did you? You didn't do that. But you protected your spiritual master's son. That means Sandivini Muni's son, when he was taken away, you went and brought him back from some other planet. Kunti Devi says that.
Vushal Mahagne Purushada Darshanal Asal Sabhayam Vanavasa Krichranam.
Then, and then after that, a number of incidents, when they were poisoned, when Bhima was poisoned, and also when the house was set on fire by Duryodhana in order to kill the whole family, in all these situations, who protected us? Kunti Devi was asking this to Krishna.
Vishal Mahagne Purushada Darshanal Asal Sabhayam Vanavasa Krichradam.
And throughout our life in this forest life, who was protecting us?
Mrithe Mrithene Kamaharatha Astrado Draunyastradascha Smahare Bhirakshidaham.
Then after that, the whole Mahabharata war incidents came back to Kunti Devi's mind. Kunti Devi said, those powerful personalities, Bhishma and Drona, when they were attacking us from those powerful weapons, who protected us?
Mrithe Mrithenegam Maharatha Astrado Draunyastradascha Smahare Abhirakshidaham.
That Kunti Devi could not imagine that Drona's powerful arrows were not affecting the Pandavas. So all those things Kunti Devi has spoken to Krishna. So Krishna says to Kunti Devi,
So what does that mean? Kundidevi, Krishna says to Kundidevi, that means you are telling me that I have protected you more than anybody else. That is finished now. What does it got to say about anything further about it? No. Kundidevi says it doesn't finish there. The matter doesn't finish. Krishna was preparing to leave for Dwaraka at that time. Kundidevi says, Krishna says to Kundidevi, if there is anything, you let me know. What can I do for you? Kundidevi says, I have one thing to ask you. Only one thing, he says. I have nothing much because I am now worried that you are going away. That's what is worrying me. So Krishna says, why? What is there to worry about? Kundidevi says there, yes, there is something to worry about. Because once you go back to Dwaraka, my children, they may forget you. Their children, they may forget you. And if they forget you, then what will happen? That is my main concern. What will happen is this, that you will go away and they may forget you, and what protection you have offered us throughout our life, that may be forgotten. That's what my worry is. So, can I ask you one thing? Kundidevi says to Krishna, there's only one thing I want to ask you. If you can give that, which you used to give us a lot before, but you're not giving us that anymore. So if you can give us a little bit of that time and again, that will help me a lot. Kundidevi says to Krishna. Krishna says, tell me what is that you want? Kundidevi says, now and then, you know, all those dangers one after the other came to me in throughout the forest life and all through Mahabharata war, all that. If that can keep coming to me further and further, that will keep me going in life. Kundidevi says to Krishna at this time. Krishna says to Kundidevi, Kundidevi's words were, Vipadastanduna shashwal tatra datra jagal guru. Supreme Personality addressing as a Supreme Spiritual Master. Kundidevi saying to Krishna, let those troubles come back to me again and again. So Krishna says to Kundidevi, giving you some trouble is not a difficult thing. That can be given any time. But is that the solution for the problem? No. Kundidevi says no, but I have found out something else from that. Kundidevi says to Krishna. Krishna says, what is that? Come, tell me what it is. He says, Bhavado darshanam yasyal. As soon as there is a danger coming, we will get an opportunity to see you. Normally, before the danger comes, Krishna comes first. And Krishna protected Kundidevi and the children before. And Kundidevi has remembered this all along. That no danger, if a danger is coming, Kundidevi knew Krishna will be there before the danger comes. Once the danger came to Kundidevi, they were in the forest. Kundidevi was there, Pandavas were there, Draupadi were there. The danger came. When the danger's name was Durvasas. When the danger came, Durvasas came and not only came alone, thousands of disciples with him, brought him with him. And they all came together and wanted to be received by Yudhishthira Maharaj, who had not even a place to stay properly. And he wanted to be received by Yudhishthira Maharaj and to be fed fully well, happily. So feast has to be offered to him. If you don't, Durvasas will completely burn you. And everybody knows Durvasas' story, what he is like. So when Durvasas came there, this danger went to take bath. Danger was told to go and take bath. When the danger finished taking bath, by the time danger lost all the desire to go back and to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. Danger got so frightened, danger ran away from there. Didn't come back at all to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. So what happened that day, everybody knows what happened. Everyone who read Mahabharata realizes this, what Krishna has done that day. So, Vishal Mahadme Purushada Darshanal Asal Sabhayam Vanavasa Kritchadam Mrdhe Mrdhinigam Maharatha Astradhom Dravnyastradaschasma Hare Bhirakshidaha. That protection what Krishna has offered that day, Kundidevi could not ever forget that. And that is why Kundidevi is saying that if different kinds of dangers keeps coming to me, I know that Bhavado darshanam yasyal, I will be able to see you straight away. I will get an opportunity to see you immediately. I get that opportunity to see you. And that is what Kundidevi was praying for. This was the reason why Kundidevi was asking Krishna to provide all these dangers to her. So that once the dangers come, Kundidevi says, I will remember you more than that. Now, there is a lot of things here in this, in Bhagavatam. All these things are spoken not in a very direct way. What is interesting here is this, that a danger was coming to Kunti Devi, right? A danger was coming to Kunti Devi. But what happened? The danger has been converted into an auspicious thing, that Kunti Devi got an opportunity to see Krishna. So normally when we sense some danger in life, when we sense some danger in life, what do? We go to Krishna and pray to Krishna, please let me not have this trouble anymore, either from illnesses or any other difficulties in this world. When someone gets stuck at the end, he comes to Krishna and asks Krishna for help, isn't it? At that time, our prayers to Krishna is, somehow or the other, relieve me from this distress. Isn't it? That is what we say to Krishna. So, here the difference is, Kunti Devi is asking Krishna to give the dangers to her, so that Krishna, Kunti Devi has found out this relationship. If a danger is coming, prior to that Krishna will come. Prior to that Krishna will come and protect me. Therefore, Kunti Devi says, Vibhadana sanduna shashval tatra dartra jagal guru bhavato darshanam yasyal abhinar bhavadarshanam. And if you see Krishna like this very often, what will happen? Kunti Devi says, no more birth after that. No more birth after that. No more birth and death. Cycle of birth and death is over. That is what that message is. That, so if one gets an opportunity to see Krishna like this, always being protected by Krishna, what does that mean? It means it sends a strong message. Krishna is sending a strong message to the devotee that you are under my protection. You have nothing to worry. And if Krishna is protecting someone, there is no danger any time throughout this life or life after. But when Krishna is not protecting someone, then there is a danger at every step. Padam padam yad vibhadam natesham. Bhagavatam says like that. Every point, every step, there is danger in life. So here, through this incident of Kunti Devi and Kunti Devi's prayers, Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us that our misfortune is not danger. Our misfortune is not being Krishna conscious. That's the most important thing. When there is, Krishna is always favorable. And when we live a life in Krishna consciousness, dangers are not important. The danger is we don't live in Krishna consciousness. When we fall into the influence of Maya and we go away from Krishna, that is the danger. The happiness is that the shelter is when we are serving Krishna. When we are not in the shelter, when we are not serving Krishna. That is the message that is coming from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, vipadasanduna shashval tatra datra jagal guru bhavadodarshanam yasyal abunar bhavadarshanam. Kunti Devi through these prayers is telling us that being Krishna conscious in this world is the greatest happiness in this world and greatest shelter or the greatest protection. Not being Krishna conscious, always engaged in the service of Maya and staying away from Krishna is the greatest danger also. These two things is being put through that message. Vedavyasa Maharshi in Bhagavatam, when you start looking through, only you will realize it, that how many important messages are spent through these verses by Vedavyas. The beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is like that the greatest danger in this world is not any other danger, not being Krishna conscious. That is the greatest danger. And the greatest misfortune is that when one is engaged in the purely in the service of Maya and to forget Krishna. When one forgets Krishna and engages in the service of Maya totally, that is the greatest danger as well. That is the greatest danger as well. That is the message in there. Manamo kinjana vittaya nivrta guna vrtaye alma ramaya shantaya kaivalya padaye namam janma ishwarya shuda shri bhir edhamana madappuman naivahartya vidadum vai tvama kinjana gocharam manye tvam kalam ishanam anadinidhanam vibhu samam charandam sarvata bhudanam yanmidakali. So at that time when Kunti Devi spoke like this, as I mentioned before, Ashwathama, as well as Durvasas and all, we should not develop any hate towards them, because I'll tell you what the reason is for that. All these great personalities, they had come here on Krishna's request. On Krishna's request they had come. They had a role to play here in the pastimes. They have finished their pastimes, they have done that the best they could, and they have gone back. The particular pastimes only to teach us what we have to learn from this. Just like, say for example, a drama is going on. Let's take for example, the story is killing of Dushasana. Bhima was killing Dushasana. So two devotees whom you know, let it be anybody, those two devotees have taken part in the drama. One is Bhimasena and the other one is Dushasana. So in the killing of Dushasana, when the whole and the climax of the drama, Bhimasena kills Dushasana, pulls out all his intestines and everything, and shows the whole revengeful mood of Bhimasena in killing Dushasana. Because if you know the Mahabharata story, you know how Bhimasena used to feel about Dushasana for what he has done to Draupadi in the assembly of the all the great people. So Bhimasena was keeping that revenge in his mind. And in the drama, everything is depicted very well. Bhimasena has done an excellent job. Similarly, Dushasana also. And eventually, Dushasana got killed in the drama. And at the end, pulled out all his intestines, the blood everywhere, and whole thing. And the drama finishes. After a few minutes, if you go there, those two devotees who have acted, Bhimasena and Dushasana, they are standing and chatting in another place. They are standing and chatting each other. They have forgotten all that. Because that was a drama, they had to play that role. They are finished with that. But outside they are standing and talking to each other as though nothing has happened in their life. Isn't it? So it is the same thing here also. Ashwathama, Durvasa Muni and so many other great personalities, they had come here and they had played their role and they had gone back. But these pastimes, which are meant to tell us something, this materially conditioned souls like us to learn from this something. And that is why these messages are put into Srimad Bhagavatam like this. That through these stories of Bhagavatam, these messages are to be understood. Otherwise, simply to think that, oh, Ashwathama is a baddie and he is a goodie and I'll deal with him in that way. That is not how we understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam we understand in this way, that Ashwathama is a person to develop that mood or mentality of Ashwathama, how dangerous it is. How dangerous it is. These things are important because you know that devotees have to suffer always in the hands of the demoniac people. Wherever it is, it is not different. So the devotees normally find sometimes very distressful in life. So generally when it happens, devotees look for shelter from somewhere. That is normally Krishna's lotus feet. There is no other shelter. Vidura was one personality who suffered like this a lot with the Kauravas, with the Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and all that. So what used to happen was Vidura used to sometimes feel very distressful in the palace in Hastinapur, often with the family there totally irreligious and not at all interested in accepting Krishna's authority and demoniac in nature. When this was happening in Hastinapur, sometime Vidura will go to Dwaraka to see Krishna. Vidura will go to Dwaraka, like many people do, isn't it? Here also you will notice sometime when people get tired of work or tired of all the problems at home or tired of the whole society, they catch a plane to Delhi, go to Vrindavan. Let me spend some few days, go to some temples, go to Radhakund, Shyamakund and see Krishna there and come back. At least let me get some relief from this misery what I'm going through here. People do that, don't they? I think everybody does that. Although it's not done officially, but as in this mood, but often people get this mood that you get fed up with everything. There is problem at work, problem at home, problem with everywhere where we go there is trouble and you get disgusted and then you decide, okay, let me go and see the temple. And visiting in temples in Vrindavanam and seeing Krishna at different places and chanting Hare Krishna and remembering some pastimes of Krishna and listening to Bhagavatam, you come back with a refreshed mood. So Vidura used to do exactly the same thing. When he gets fed up in Hastinapur, listening to this Dhritarashtra's mourning and also to Duryodhana's planning for the future of the Pandavas, and he keeps on advising to Dhritarashtra, will never listen to, he listens everything, but will not do anything about it. And Vidura was getting absolutely fed up with the whole situation. So when he gets fed up, sometimes he will go to Dwaraka to see Krishna there. So, because Vidura was going to see Krishna like this, always in Dwaraka, quite often, the Kauravas started making fun of Vidura about this. So they gave him a funny name for this, who was visiting Krishna all the time. Do you know what name they have given? Sudeva Goswami has not forgotten to put that name in the Bhagavatam. That's where we get that name from. Sahasra Shishnas Charano Vidhana. That was the name the Kauravas and the Duryodhana and the gang had given to our Vidura. Sahasra Shishnas Charano Vidhana. That was what Sri Shukan says that in the Bhagavatam later. So what does that mean? What does it word mean? The word is very simple. When people very comfortably lie down in the bed, they have few pillows to support the back. And sometimes they put a pillow at the feet to put the feet also, isn't it? Charanobhidhanam, that is Charanobhidhanam. That, in other words, the pillow for the feet, that is Vidura. The Kaurava started calling like this, Sahasra Shishnas Charanobhidhana. The Krishna's feet, or the footrest you can say, that pillow, that is Vidura. They started calling him like this. Why did they call like this? Because they came to know, whenever Vidura goes to Dwaraka, Krishna noticed that Vidura had come. Krishna had tremendous affection for Vidura. Well, so when Vidura comes, Rukmini Devi was massaging Krishna's feet. Krishna's lotus feet, Rukmini Devi was massaging. So Krishna asked Rukmini Devi, who had come? Rukmini Devi said, Vidura had come. Okay, says to Rukmini Devi, now you stop massaging, call Vidura here. So Vidura comes in. Vidura was very frightened to walk in because Vidura had a lot of respect, because being born in a Shudra family, approaching Krishna, who was not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the opulence of Dwaraka and the position of Krishna was for Vidura beyond his understanding. So with a lot of respect, Vidura will approach Krishna. So when Vidura comes like that, Krishna will say to Vidura, Vidura, can you sit down at the feet and give me some massage? For the last few days I am feeling some pain in the feet. Krishna says to Vidura. So Vidura puts the Krishna's lotus feet on his lap and start massaging that feet. This particular service Krishna has allowed Vidura to do many, many times. And this has come to know in the Kauravas in the Hastinapur. So they started saying Krishna, in a very nice polished Sanskrit language, they started calling Vidura, Sahasra Shishnas Charano Abhidhanam. That was addressed how they started calling Vidura. But Vidura had this great fortune, good fortune, of able to massage Krishna's lotus feet so many times. But while massaging, there was no oil or anything. The tears that was coming from Vidura's eyes, that was used as the oil for massaging Krishna's feet, and Krishna released that massage of Vidura much more than massaging of Rukmini Devi. That was the kind of relationship Krishna had with Vidura. So you can see from this that the Krishna reciprocation with a devotee, and how Krishna protected Vidura at all circumstances, and in this whole third and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Vidura was brought in along with Maitreya Maharshi, let Vidura also stay in the Bhagavatam forever. That is, Krishna wanted that to happen. That is why Vidura is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, going back to Kunti Devi's prayers again. Na veda kaschil bhagavam shtikirshidam tavehamana sindranam vidambanam. So, this particular happiness of Vidura by massaging Krishna's lotus feet, only Vidura had, nobody else had. And therefore, Krishna had special love for Vidura, always shown like this. So, Kunti Devi's relationship with Krishna was such that Kunti Devi wanted Krishna to offer the dangers all the time. And in such a way that the dangers will always come, but prior to danger, Krishna will come. And that was the Abunar Bhavadarshanam, that was sufficient for Kunti Devi, because that will not happen again. Another life doesn't have to take place. That was what Kunti Devi's logic was, that there is no more rebirth. This is why Kunti Devi saw that. So, in order to understand this, you have to look at Ramayanam. Ramayanam gives us an interesting relationship in a similar way. What is that relationship? Relationship was, Hanuman went to Sri Lanka. Hanuman wanted to burn Sri Lanka, didn't he? He went to Lanka. When he went to Lanka, and he saw Sita Devi that evening, when Sita Devi was sitting under the Ashwagandha, or that under the tree, Hanuman goes and sees her, exchanges the ring, what Ramachandra has given. And then that night, Hanuman decided to burn Lanka. But fortunately, Hanumanji didn't have to set fire himself. Ravana came that evening fully dressed up to see Sita Devi. And when he saw this Hanuman sitting there, found out who Hanuman was, who he is, wanted to know. And seeing Hanuman, they decided to set fire to his tail. Did he not? They decided to set fire to his tail. And they brought themselves all the oil and the cloth and everything. And the whole job was done by the Rakshasas. Along Ravana ordered them to set fire to the Rakshasas. Set fire to Hanuman's tail. Hanuman sat there and fully enjoyed this whole scene. How could he enjoy that? When they have set fire to Hanuman's tail, somebody was sitting there and saying to Agni Deva, to fire god, Kundi, Sita Devi prayed at that time. Sita Devi's prayers were there in the Bhagavatam, you will see them. Then he prays them that that if I had at any time pleased Lord Ramachandra by my service, if my chastity to Lord Ramachandra was perfect, and if I have spoken, I have never thought about anybody else except Ramachandra in my heart. Shido bhava Hanumata. Let Hanuman's tail become cool. Become cool like an ice. Shido bhava Hanumata. That is what Sita Devi says to Agni, the fire god. And when Sita Devi spoke these words to Agni, Agni replied, Agni changed. Instead of the fire, Hanumanji was experiencing a cold effect on his tail. The fire was burning, but Hanuman was experiencing the coolness of it. A feeling of complete coldness, and absolutely never felt by the heat at all, were not disturbed at all. How did this happen? Because of the prayers of Sita Devi to the fire, to Agni. So, exactly in the same way, Kunti Devi is saying here, as and when a danger comes to me, what happens the next moment is, the danger turns out to be an auspicious thing on the other way. Why? Because as soon as the danger comes, I know Krishna is coming there. And Krishna comes means I get an opportunity to see him. Apunar bhava darshanam. After that, there is no more birth. One more lifetime, there is no more need to take another lifetime. That confidence in Kunti Devi, that was the reason Kunti Devi has spoken like this. Vipado shanduna sashwal tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhava darshanam. Then Kunti Devi's these prayers to Krishna is only to bring out this point, that taking into consideration that Kunti Devi's mind was becoming more and more detached from this world. Just like now Kunti Devi said to Krishna that at least I'll get an opportunity. But the prayer to Krishna was that you should come, the distress should come so that my children won't forget you. This is the words Kunti Devi has used. My children won't forget you. But Kunti Devi was saying at that time, Krishna was saying at that time, what is this, my aunt, you are keep on praying to me like the ordinary people. Ordinary people pray like this, isn't it? I should be happy, my family should be happy, my children should be happy. But this is a very ordinary type of prayer. Ordinary in the sense that it is for one's own selfish reasons one is praying like this. It's considered to be a very lower understanding of Krishna's position, isn't it? You go to Krishna when you have some material distress and praying to him, protect me from this, protect me from that, and you are not concerned about protection of anybody else in this world, only for yourself and the family. So that's how most of the people are praying to Krishna. So Krishna is saying to Kunti Devi, is that what you have got to say to me now after all so many years in this world? Is you are still, your standard of prayer is like that, like this ordinary people's style of prayers? Kunti Devi says to Krishna at that time, no, it is not like that. I have spoken all these things, only one reason. I have got something else to say. Let me say that, but prior to that, let me tell you why I have spoken like this. And Kunti Devi says to Krishna that I have spoken these things because it was a duty. It was a duty. For a woman, the duty is to look after their children and their welfare. That is their greatest greatest duty in this world, to look after their own children. So that is all I am doing, and that's, it's a duty I have done that. But now I have got something else to say. Up to this, whatever I have spoken is my duty. That is, finishes there. But now, something more I have got to say. Please remember, Kundi Devi was preparing to go to the forest. In other words, in her mind, she has given up all the attachment to this world. So therefore, the next request from Kundi Devi to Krishna is much more significant. Much more significant. What did Kundi Devi say to Krishna? Kundi Devi says, there is so many other verses in the same Kundi Stuti. Also Kundi Devi is saying that, what is Krishna's position? Bhavesmin klishyamananam Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravanasmaranarhani karishyanidikechanam Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. Kundi Devi is saying now to Krishna, why does people engage in so many activities? Why? Because of avidya, ignorance. And what happens from ignorance? Kama karma bhi. Lot of material desires develop. From ignorance, plenty of material desires comes out. And what happens when the plenty of material desires come about? Going on working hard in this world to acquire wealth. To acquire wealth. And they don't know what they are doing it for. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. Such people, there is only one remedy for them. What is that? Shravanasmaranarhani. That they have to continuously hear about you, about Krishna, and remember you. By doing that, what will happen is karishyan itikechanam. They will slowly come out of that net, what they are caught up in. They are caught up in that net. There is no doubt about that. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravanasmaranarhani karishyan itikechanam. So in order for them to escape from that net, what they are caught in, they have only got one opportunity. That is to simply hear about Krishna. By hearing about Krishna, they will come out of that net they have caught themselves in. They got themselves in. Kama karma bhi. Avidya kama karma bhi. That is Kundi Devi's prayers. Can you imagine? Kundi Devi is so intelligent that she was able to recognize this. That maturity in spiritual life has come to her at this stage in life. After going through all the distress in life. And now in the highest position in this whole planet, Kundi Devi is speaking like this. So what? Imagine that realization in Kundi Devi's heart to say like this to Krishna. That by hearing about you and by glorifying you and remembering you, one can come out of this net, what one is caught in. All the householders, it's important message that hearing about Krishna is the only answer to come out of this illusion, what we are caught up in. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravanasmaranahani karishya nidigejanam. After saying that, Kundi Devi wants to change the chapter. She wants to turn the page. Says to Krishna, up to this time, whatever I have spoken to you is purely on the reason, on the basis that I just wanted that as a duty I have to say these things to you which I have done. Now let me say something to you on my personal level, what I have got to say. And that is in the next verse. Krishna says here that Toyime ananya vishaya madhur madhubade asagal yadi muddha khata dhagdha genghe vaukhamudhanyodim. That normally in this world, if you take families, men and women, for the men there is only one knot attachment. One knot of attachment, isn't it? That is to his own family, wherever his wife and children. That is one attachment he has got. But for women, there is two attachment. One to the family from where they came, parents, and that family from where she grew up, that attachment. And then towards the husband's family also. After start moving with the husband, then another attachment builds up there. So normally there is only one knot for the man, but for the women there is two knots. So that is why in that verse you will see Sneha Basham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. On the one side, I have been thinking that all these Pandavas, that my children, they are all mine. I had that attachment towards them. On the other side, I had the attachment towards Vasudev, Devaki and Krishna and all the other members of the family. I had another attachment. But now I am realizing that whether it is attachment to the Pandavas, whether attachment to the Vrishnis, They are both on my way in going back home, back to Godhead, in going back to Krishna. They are both on my way. Please cut this attachment towards Pandavas and cut this attachment to the Krishnis. And from both sides, please cut this attachment. And that is what Kunti Devi has told Krishna at that time. Let this attachment from both sides go away. Because of this attachment, I have whole of my lifetime I spend in this way. Because of my attachment. All my prayers to Krishna is that you please cut this attachment. That was the only prayer Kunti Devi has done to Krishna. In other words, what is also telling us is that this attachment in family life, it is not possible to cut on one's own. It is not easy to do that. That cutting that attachment is actually Krishna does it. When the right time comes and Krishna feels that if that attachment is causing the problem in spiritual life, Krishna will cut that attachment for a devotee. One does not have to worry about it too much. That is the message in the Bhagavadam. That Srimad Bhagavadam, the beauty of Bhagavadam is not pushing you to do many, many wonders in this world. Simply by taking Krishna consciousness seriously and becoming a serious devotee of Krishna, automatically things what has to happen will happen in its own due course. That is what Krishna is saying, Kunti Devi is saying here. That Toime Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpman Vishwamurte Sukeshume Sneha Bhasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. Towards the Pandavas I had an attachment, please cut that off. Towards the Vrishnis also I had another attachment, please cut that off. When that both attachment is over, I am free to go. Kunti Devi's heart was showing that symptoms of renunciation and detachment was coming up, ready for going back home, back to Krishna. So it was at that time the final words were spoken then. Just like Ganga River goes to the ocean, how? Not caring for anything, break away all kinds of obstacles on the way and flows freely to reach the sea, somehow to the ocean, somehow in the same way, let my mind goes toward you without any kind of hindrances in between. So in other words, Kunti Devi has come to the realization that simply taking Krishna's shelter and not asking Krishna for anything, all what I had to do I have done now in this world, preparing to leave this world. At that time the consciousness of Kunti Devi was like that. And finally, before Krishna was leaving that time, Kunti Devi says to all these, Kunti Devi has spoken, and then Kunti Devi says to Krishna, Shri Krishna, addressing Krishna, Shri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vrushabhavanidrav, Rajanyavamshadahana, Apavargavirya, Govinda, Godvija, Surarthi, Haravadara, Yogeshwara, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste. Saying this, Kunti Devi falls down and pays her obeisances again. And Krishna stood there looking at this whole scene. The whole prayers were finished. When everything was finished, Krishna looked at Kunti Devi and smiled. This is always what Krishna does with every devotee. Devotee will come to Krishna and say all his distress, miseries, everything. And Krishna in turn looks at the devotee and smiles. And he just gives a smile. So when Krishna smiles, is it very nice when somebody comes to you and tell you very seriously all your distresses? You look at him and start smiling. What are you mourning at about? In that mood. But unfortunately, this is what Krishna did. It says here, Vedavyasa is saying here. What did he say? Prudhayatham kalabadai parinudhagilo odhayam mandam jahasa vaikundho mohayan nivamayayam mandam jahasa vaikundham. That is just a little smile. Not a very big laugh, but just a little smile. Mandam jahasa vaikundham mohayan nivamayayam. Why did he smile? Because when Krishna sees that the conditioned soul under the influence of Maya is suffering and making himself more and more suffer more and more due to ignorance. Kunti Devi herself has spoken why she was suffering, avidya kama karmavi. And now then she is repeating all this distress, you know, complaints and all the distresses what she was experiencing. She has made a whole list and spoken about all that. So when Krishna heard all these things, Krishna is thinking, has she not learned anything yet? What this is all about, this life is all about. Mandam jahasa vaigundha mohayan nivamayayam. that how powerful Maya is, putting different people in different situations and make them feel suffering, happiness and all these things. That is why Krishna has smiled, seeing the way Maya is playing with people. Because Krishna felt naturally the experience of Kunti Devi made Krishna to think that Maya is doing her role very well. Moham mandam jahasa vaigunda mohayan niva mayaya. And when Kunti Devi, Krishna smiled like this, Kunti Devi also smiled. What else could she do? Completely forgotten everything what she had spoken up to that point. She was thinking, what was I doing all this time? Continuously complaining to Krishna about my life, what has happened in the past and what should happen in the future. All this has got any meaning? Really, strictly speaking, it has no meaning. Because under the influence of Maya, so many things are happening in this world. If one learns to detach from Maya's influence, one will come to understand that this is the nature of the material world. This you cannot change. The finest point or the final solution to the problem is to go back to Krishna. But instead of doing that, complaining to Krishna about Maya all the time is not going to help. That is the message from that. Mandam jahasa vaigunda mohayan iva mayaya. So therefore Kunti Devi spoke like this. Krishna smiled. Kunti Devi also smiled at that time. Kunti Devi didn't know what to say. That Krishna's smile has many, many meanings. In different times in Bhagavadam, you will see Krishna smiling in different instances. And every time, such an expert in smiling and changing the scene is no one else existed like Krishna. When Subhadra Devi was on Dwaraka, and Arjuna came in the dress of a sannyasi to kidnap Subhadra. If you remember that pastime in the 10th canto, Arjuna came to kidnap Subhadra Devi. Krishna told him to do that, isn't it? Krishna told him, you become a sannyasi. That is the best dress for this. Get dressed properly and come. And come and sit underneath that huge tree in Dwaraka. And rest of it, I'll take care. He says to Arjuna. So Arjuna wanted very badly to marry Subhadra. That desire was very strong. And as soon as he heard that marriage has been arranged for Subhadra with Duryodhana's son, there was a little bit of fear in Arjuna's mind that, will I lose Subhadra? Will Subhadra be married? And he also came to know that Balaram has arranged the marriage. Isn't it? Balaram has arranged the marriage. So Krishna says to Arjuna, then Arjuna, do you really want to marry Subhadra? Arjuna wouldn't answer straight away because he was feeling a bit shy. But being quiet, Krishna understood that he wants it, isn't it? Quiet means what? Agreed. Not saying no. He said no only where is the problem. We have also done the same thing, isn't it? Most of us, I'm sure that. Somebody asked you, do you want to get married? No answer. So that's the same thing. So, silence is sometimes an agreement. So, Krishna took it, yes, Arjuna widely wants to marry. So, he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, if you want to marry Subhadra, if you sit here like this, it's not going to happen. Better to take the sannyasi's dress and come sit near the Dwaraka and things will happen in a normal way. So, you know that story, we have discussed that in the 10th canto before. What happened was, Arjuna came and sat there, Krishna goes and one day, the news arrived in the palace that some great sannyasi has arrived. Balaram goes to see him first. Balaram sees this great sannyasi had arrived. And the whole discussion between Balaram and Arjuna, Arjuna won't even speak, always in trance, samadhi sitting there. So Balaram thinks, oh, this sannyasi must be always in samadhi. Normally, sometimes sannyasis come down from samadhi to this world. But this samadhi seems to be continuous. And so better not to disturb the sannyasi. Balaram pays his obeisances a few times to Arjuna. And eventually Balaram thought better to ask sannyasi's few disciples who were there. That's what we normally do, isn't it? When big sannyasis come, what do? We don't talk to the sannyasi directly. We go to the disciples first. Maybe if we get some mercy from the disciples, we can eventually get the mercy from the sannyasis. That is what most of the time it happens. That's what I have seen anyway. So, here what happened was, Balaram also took the same approach. He asked the disciples who were there. Disciples said, it's very difficult to say when he will come down. So eventually Arjuna did come down from samadhi. And so Balaram, blessed Balaram. Balaram never understood who it was, what he is up to. Nothing was known to Balaram. So Balaram started questioning Arjuna, what all have you studied? Arjuna repeated all the Vedic literature, whatever that was on his lips. He said, I've gone through this, I've gone through that. Upanishads, everything. He says, oh, such a learned sannyasi. Not only an ordinary sannyasi, very, very learned as well. Balaram paid again obeisances, gets up, goes back to the palace. And then decided that we must invite this sannyasi to have his Chaturmasam in our palace. He says, nowhere else, in our palace you should be there. So Subhadra was there in the palace. It was the time Balaram was trying to arrange the marriage of Subhadra. And Balaram, it was a practice those days that when, for quite some time that was the system, when great spiritually advanced people come, wealthy people, they will invite them to stay at home and arrange the girls to serve them so that they get the mercy from them in and to get married and to have a good family life and children, everything. So with that in mind, Balaram thought that Subhadra may get an opportunity to serve this learned sannyasi who was young and good looking, and still Balaram thought that is the right thing to do. Balaram says and decided to invite the sannyasi. So he goes and tells Krishna these things. Krishna says, I'm not interested, he says. Krishna says, nowadays you cannot trust these sannyasis, he says. None of them. I had enough of them, I've seen them. You don't know, if you want to do something, you go ahead and do it. I don't want to be a part of it. The way Krishna played that whole game of Subhadra's marriage and Krishna's dealings with Balaram is something you can relish for whole life, thinking about it. And keep it in your head also when you meet sannyasis sometimes. So, because it is necessary in this world. It is necessary in this world. Time has gone to such an extent that what Krishna has spoken about sannyasam and that sannyasam principles have changed to such an extent that's become necessary to remember these things also in life. Maybe that is why Vedavyas has put that in the Bhagavatam. I do not understand why otherwise. So anyway, Krishna was told this. Krishna had no interest in talking to Balaram or to go and see the sannyasis. Balaram says to Krishna, this is nonsense that I have told you to at least to come and pay your obeisances to him. At least come and pay your obeisances to him. A great sannyasi had come there. And you don't even have the courtesy to go. That is why you have all these problems. Krishna, Balaram is saying to Krishna. Anyway, Krishna wanted to be an obedient younger brother. Says to Balaram, if that will please you, I'll come with you. But don't involve me in anything. It's between you and the sannyasi. Whatever you want to do, you do it together. You want to invite him, you want to feed him, you want Subhadra to serve him. It's all between you and him, he says. So, Krishna, Balaram drags Krishna. Both of them ran in the chariot to see the sannyasi. When they went to see the sannyasi, what happened there? Balaram paid his obeisances. Krishna is standing behind and is looking at Arjuna and smiling. That is one type of style, smile, what you have never seen from Krishna anywhere else. No other time Krishna has smiled like this. Sit there and do your drama very well. That was that smile meant. That drama is going on very well. In other words, you managed to get Balaram to pay his obeisances. But Krishna stood back. Balaram gets up, says to Krishna, have you not paid your obeisances? Krishna says, no. No, pay your obeisances, says to Krishna. Krishna pays his obeisances, gets up, looks at Arjuna's face. Krishna could not control himself. The whole scene was so fascinating that Krishna couldn't laugh, because if he laughs, the whole secret will come out. So Balaram pulls his hand, takes the sannyasi and goes to the palace. Now there Krishna has smile, which has a different meaning than the smile here. Here, mandam jahasa vaigundham mohayan ivamayaya. There it was a different smile. Vedavya says there. Now, hasam hare. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find there, hasam hare avanitha vilal ogadivra shoga ashru sagara visheshanam avishoshanam atyudaram. When devotees come to Krishna and complains to Krishna of the distress what they are experiencing, also Krishna smile. But that smile is different. In the third canto, Kapila Vasudev says to Devahudi Devi there about that smile of Krishna. What is that? Hasam hare amanatha agile logadivram shoga ashru sagara vishoshanam atyudaram. At that time, Krishna's smile has a different meaning. Why? Because when the people come, they are in distress, isn't it? Different kinds of distress, either suffering in the body or suffering in the mind or suffering from other living entities. Either of the Adhyatmikam, Adhibodhikam, Adhidevikam, one of these distress is coming to him and giving him enough misery in this world, and unable to turn this side or that side, comes to Krishna for help. At that time, Krishna is smiling. What does that mean? That smiling, Vishoshanam Atyudaram. At that time, Krishna's smile is this, that why are you crying? Why are you feeling this distress? You have come to me. The distress is also going away, one after the other. Everything will eventually come out nicely. Because if distress don't come, how will you come to me? You will forget me. So is that not this distress helping you at least to remember, stay in Krishna consciousness? But the devotee, because he is not able to think ahead of all the benefits of being distressed or all the positive side of it, not able to see it in a positive way, he is looking at Krishna and complaining, and Krishna is smiling. Hasam hare amanitha gila loga divram shogashu sagara vishoshanam aty udaram. While crying, Krishna is also feeling the distress of the devotee. Shoga ashru sagaram vishoshanam atyudaram. And that time Krishna's heart is also melting. Why my devotee is suffering like this? And when Krishna is thinking like that, the devotee is also slowly coming out of his distress. But due to the powerful prarabdha karma behind it, that is controlling his life, Krishna is allowing that to come through this and still keeping an eye on the devotee's life. That is also there. So that smile is again different at that time from Krishna. So from all these things, when Kunti Devi has spoken all these prayers to Krishna, at that point Krishna smiled, Kunti Devi also smiled. After that time, many days Kunti Devi did not stay there. From this, you can understand what was the relationship between Krishna and Kunti Devi. It is this relationship between Krishna and Kunti Devi that Krishna has offered or guaranteed Kunti Devi that Arjuna and other Pandavas will be protected in future. And after saying good farewell to Kunti Devi, Krishna said to Kunti Devi that he is on his way back to Dwaraka, and if ever any distress comes, just remember me and everything will be taken care of. And that guarantee what Krishna has given to Kunti Devi is the reason why Krishna says, Pandavanam Dhananjaya. Among the Pandavas, I am Dhananjaya. That attachment for Dhananjaya is coming through Kunti Devi. That is why that relationship is so strong. Because Kunti Devi has prayed like this to Krishna, and Krishna has appreciated that intelligence of Kunti Devi to think like this, that at the time of leaving this world, to break away from all attachment to this world and fully prepared and ready to go back home, back to Krishna. And that is what Krishna has appreciated in that relationship with Kunti Devi. So from Kunti Devi's prayers, we can see how Krishna was attached to Kunti Devi and how that attachment has even gone further to Arjuna. So that is one thing. Now we go back to how Arjuna felt about Krishna. That is also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have to go very far from here. In the first canto, all these things are put in there just to show us, because the personalities in the Bhagavatam, like Arjuna, Kunti Devi, they are all so dear to Krishna. And they are dear to Krishna because their presence here and their relationship with Krishna was such that Krishna had Vedavyas could not stay away from that, mentioning that. And there is a number of verses when Arjuna was coming back to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. That comes much little later, and that is in the chapter 15 of the first canto. So after Krishna has departed from this world, went back to his own abode. Krishna departed from this world and went back to his own abode. At that time, what happened was that Krishna told Arjuna that out of the 16,108 wives, leave the 8 wives, the queens in Dwaraka, and take all the 16,100 wives to Hastinapur. Krishna has instructed Arjuna like this. So Arjuna decided to take all the wives to Hastinapur. They were going with Arjuna back to Hastinapur. On their way back, what happened was, Arjuna was attacked by many cowherd men. Cowherd boys and cowherd men, they attacked Arjuna and they took away all the 16,100 wives from him. And that was the day Arjuna learned a great lesson. Up to that time, Arjuna thought that he was the most powerful person on this planet. The same time when this has happened, in Hastinapur, Yudhishthira Maharaj was ready to leave the world. Ready to leave the world. Why? Because already there were some symbols, some symptoms, that were some omens rather, were developing in Hastinapur of the departure of Krishna from this world. When Yudhishthira Maharaj heard, sometimes animals were making such strange noises in the middle of the night. Foxes and so many dogs and all were crying in a very, very strange way. Some bad omens like that. When he went into the temple to see the deity, he felt as though the tears were coming from the deity's eyes. He saw like that. And quite a few of those omens are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, what Yudhishthira Maharaj saw there. So Yudhishthira Maharaj called his brother Bhimasena and told him that I am seeing so many bad omens at the moment. I wonder what is going to happen to Hastinapur. So in that way they were discussing. It was then that suddenly Arjuna came on the scene and fell down. And what did Arjuna say? Vanchidoham Maharajam Harina Bandhurubinam. Vanchidoham Maharaja, my dear king, I have been cheated. That is how he started the conversation. When Yudhishthira Maharaj saw Arjuna like this, Yudhishthira Maharaj has never seen Arjuna in a distressful condition. Arjuna is always very cheerful and very active person and full of courage and proper Kshatriya's behavior. So such an Arjuna, he had never seen him lamenting like this. So Yudhishthira Maharaj naturally felt there is something has gone wrong. And before he could say anything, Arjuna fell on the ground and paid his obeisance to Yudhishthira Maharaj and so told him, Vanchidoham Maharaja, I have been cheated. Arjuna says, Harina Bandhurubina, who was with me all along this time as my relative and everything, that person has cheated me. We also say like that, isn't it? If someone who is very dear to you, he dies and goes suddenly, what do you say? You say, oh, he has cheated me. And he's cheated me. That's what Arjuna was saying. Vanchidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina. And Arjuna says that in Bandhurubina, in like a relative, he was with me. But Hari, the Supreme Personality, Krishna, and he has left me. And Arjuna now realized what that meant. Normally, Arjuna had no problem in fighting with cowherd boys and cowherd men. That was not even a battle for him. Personality who have fought with Drona and Bhishma, Karna and Shalya and all others, for them these a few cowherd men and cowherd boys were not a problem at all. Who were these cowherd men and cowherd boys? Who were they? They have come from Goloka actually. They were come from Goloka and they have come and they have taken them back to the Golokam. That's all what it has happened. These 16,100 personalities, they have actually come from Golokam. As Krishna's wives, they were present here. And they were taken back also. And the time the drama was over, the period was over, they had to go back. So this is how it was planned by Krishna. But most of the people thought that Arjuna, at that time, Arjuna's ability to protect them has lost. That was completely lost. And Arjuna was now lamenting. And from now on, from another 15 or 20 verses, Arjuna is just remembering everything, how Krishna has dealt with him throughout his life. And remembering each and every instance, how Krishna has dealt with him and protected him. Arjuna started crying in front of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Let's go through that verse one by one. Yel samshaya drubada geham upagadanam rajyam swayam varamukhe smaradurmadanam tejohadam khalumaya bihadascha malsya sajjikrdena dhanushadi gataja krishnam. Draupadi Swayamvaram, Draupadi's marriage time, when they were dressed up like brahmanas, they were present there. In Virada, King Virada's family, they were living there and they were dressed up as brahmanas, they had come there. And at that time, nobody could recognize them, could they? Nobody recognized who they were. And when Arjuna was dressed up like a brahmana and he shot the arrow and Draupadi was offered in marriage, Krishna and Arjuna were sitting in the assembly at that time. Krishna and Balaram were sitting in the assembly at that time. Balaram could not recognize who Arjuna was. And not only that, Balaram got very furious about it. When we Kshatriyas are all sitting here, a Brahmana comes and he shoots an arrow and wins Draupadi in marriage and takes her away. I cannot tolerate this, he says to Krishna, who was sitting next to him. Krishna says to Balaram, please cool down a little bit. Do you know who that Brahmana is? Whoever it is, what does it matter, he says. I don't care who it is, I'm just going to finish him now, he says. Balaram gets up. Krishna says, sit down. Can you not see who it is, he says. Who is it, he says. Is it not Arjuna? The only thing is Arjuna, he says. Krishna says to Balaram. Balaram looks at him a little more closely. And suddenly he realizes it was Arjuna. Who controls all this? Krishna is controlling everything from behind. But even Balaram is controlled like that. So, like that it happened in the Brahmastri. Also, if you remember that Brahma's prayers, how it all happened that time. Same way. So, here, as soon as this happened, Balaram realized who that Brahmana was. Didn't say anything after that. Keep quiet. So, Arjuna is saying here, in that marriage, who arranged everything for me to win Draupadi? Because Arjuna knew very well, it was only because of Krishna that marriage has happened. That's why Arjuna is saying here, Tejohram khalu maya abhihadas chamalsya saji kritena dhanushadi kritaja krishnam. That how Draupadi was won in marriage if there was no support from Krishna. Rajnyam soyam varamukhe smaradurmadanam. So that was the first one. Then Yalsannidha Vahamukha Andhavam Agnayeda Indram Jasa Amaraganam Tarasa Vijitya Labdha Sabha Mayakradalputa Shilpa Maya Digbyo Haran Rupadayo Bhalimadvarete. In the second instance, Arjuna is remembering. Arjuna went to fight a war in the heavenly planets and defeated the Indra and all the other demigods there. And in return, Arjuna was given a special weapon and to come and to and to burn. Gandivam was offered, and in order to pacify Agni, Lord Agni, he was allowed to offer the Gandava forest in fire. He set fire to the Gandava forest as a food to Agni Deva, it was offered. And not only that, by winning that war, Maya, the one of the demons, he has agreed to build a palace for Pandavas in Hastinapur later on, which he built, Maya Sabha it is called, which was actually the cause of the Mahabharata war. In other words, more or less it started from there, isn't it? When Duryodhana and others came to see, he slipped and fell in the water and Draupadi smiled, and that was that the seed was sown for Mahabharata war that day. So that Maya's palace, Maya, how he built that assembly house for the which was very, very special, not available in this planet, came from the, which was built by Maya, who is the builder in for the demons in the higher planets. He has come and built it for them with all its special arrangements. So that is what Arjuna is remembering there. Yat tejasa anurba shriram vimahan makartem aryon yastava gaja ida sattva virya tena hrida apramada nadamghaya bhuva enmojida astadanayan balimadvaredem. Then Arjuna remembering how your brother says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, how your younger brother Bhimasena, how he was poisoned by the Kauravas, and how he was given a lot of trouble. But from there, all he was protected by whom? Who has protected him? Arjuna says. He is not still saying that Krishna has left, but he is saying that I remember Krishna in that way. Patnya savadhi mahakripta mahabhishega shlakhishta charyu kabaram kidavai sabhayam sprishtam vigirya padayobadida ashramukhya yaistal sriyo kadahadesha vimukta geshaham. Then Arjuna remembering what happened to Draupadi in the assembly, how she was insulted and offended by Dushasana and others. And Arjuna is saying here, that day when they tried to disrobe Draupadi and are pulling her hair and making her feel insulted, and the same incident, Krishna, by whose arrangement it has happened to Dushasana and other women of the Kauravas, the same thing has happened later on. By whose mercy has that happened? Arjuna remembering that. I said Sri Yokada Hadesha Vimukta Keshaham Yuno Jugoba Vanameta Duranda Krishra Durvasa Sori Vihida Agrabukya Shaka Nashishtam Ubayujayada Srilogim Triptam Amasta Salile Vinimadna Sanghaham. Then Arjuna is remembering what happened in the forest when they were with Kunti Devi, when Durvasa Muni came and tried to put them into trouble. Who protected us? Arjuna is asking Yudhishthira Maharaj all these things. By whose mercy we were protected from the curse of Durvasas? If Krishna has not come and protected us, what would have happened to us? യത്തേജസാദ ഭഗവാൻ യുധി ശൂലവാണി വിസ്മാവിത ഗിരിജോസ്ത്രമദാൻ നിജമ്മി അന്യേ വിചാഹമമുനൈവ കളേബരേണ പ്രാപ്തോ മഹേന്ദ്രഭവനെ മഹദാസനാർത്ഥം. ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ വെൻ അർജുന വൺസ് അർജുന വാസ് ഇൻ ദ ഫോറസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ശ്രീപാർവതി ആൻഡ് ലോർഡ് ശിവ ഡിസൈഡ് ടു ടെസ്റ്റ് അർജുന അബൌട്ട് അർജുനസ് പവർ ആൻഡ് കറേജ്. So they took up the dress of a hunter and a female hunter, male and female hunter form they came. Kiratamurti, he is called as Kiratamurti. Lord Shiva is called as Kiratamurti in that dress. They came like forest hunters. Both of them came and they started fighting with Arjuna in the fight. The way it happened, Mahabharatam explains that story much more in detail. Arjuna shot an arrow to kill an animal. Lord Shiva also shot an arrow. At that time, Arjuna claimed that it is his arrow which has killed the animal. Lord Shiva also claimed that it is his arrow who shot the, who killed the animal. So, at that time, when this happened, At that time when this happened, Arjuna had a fight with Lord Shiva. Pleased with Arjuna's courage and fighting spirit, Lord Shiva handed over to him the Pashupatam, the famous famous astram, which was the arrow which was given to Arjuna by Lord Shiva. Having received that Pashupata astram, Arjuna used that in the Mahabharata war against the Arjuna used that in the Mahabharata war against the Kauravas. So, by whose mercy did I get it? Arjuna says, what pleased Lord Shiva and who gave me the courage to fight Lord Shiva? And remembering Krishna in that way. Tatraiva me viharado upajadanda yukmam Gandhiva lakshanam aradi amaradi vathaya deva Sendrashida yadunubhavidam amajamidam Tenahamadyamushida purushena bhumnam. Arjuna went to heavenly planets and killed Nivata Kavacham. They are the demons and supply helped Indra in that, and Indra has given certain benedictions to Arjuna at that time. Whose mercy I was able to do that, Arjuna says. Yel Bhandava Kurubalabdhimanandavarmay Gorathina Tadarehamatarya Satvam Pratyahradam Bahudanam Jamaya Paresham Tejalspadam Manimayam Jakratam Shirobhyam. Then when they were in the Virada, King Virada's palace, one day all the cows were stolen. And at that time, Arjuna managed to protect all of them. Arjuna remembered that, by whose mercy I could do that. All the different successes, what Arjuna had throughout his fighting career, Arjuna was remembering now as only purely as Krishna's mercy. Otherwise it would not have been possible. And then, Yo Bhishma Karna Guru Shalyajam Ushad Abhira Rajanya Vari Rathamandalam Andidasu Agreja Roma Mavibho Rathayudhavanam Ayurmanam Sijadrasham Sahamojama Chal. Mahabharata war. How it could not have happened without Krishna's support and help. How would I have been able to fight with Bhishma, Drona, Shalya, Karna and how many such great powerful warriors? How I managed to win over them without Krishna's mercy? How could that happen? Again, remembrance of the another instance. Then, Yadroshum Ampanihinam Guru Bhishmakarna Drauni Trigartashala Saindhava Balhi Gadhyay Astranya Mokhamahimani Nirubhidani Novasprashur Naharida Asamivasurani. One particular instance in Mahabharata war, one incident happened, was Dronacharya fired Agnayastram towards Arjuna. This Agnayastram was a very, very powerful weapon. There is no Pratyastram. That means there is no equivalent arrow to reply back. There was nothing there. Arjuna didn't know anything about it, how to deal with it. So Drona, knowing very well, fired this Astram or this arrow towards Arjuna. So when the arrow came, as soon as it touched the chariot, what did Krishna do? Krishna put his feet on top of it and pressed it onto the chariot, and it stayed there. And when, what happened after that? Normally, every day when the war was over, Krishna will take Arjuna exactly like a driver of a chariot or you can say like a taxi driver. That was more like a charioteer. Krishna used to drive the chariot, and Krishna will get down from the chariot first. Krishna will get down from the chariot first. Open the door for Arjuna to get down, because Arjuna was the fighter, isn't it? So the etiquette of the war is like that, that the charioteer has to be very respectful to the fighter, whoever was fighting. So every day this was followed. All the 18 days this was followed very strictly. But on the 18th day, when the war was over, Krishna drove Arjuna back in the chariot, and then first Krishna got down from the chariot. Arjuna thought, why there is a change today? Normally Krishna comes and opens the door for me. But today what happened was Krishna didn't get down first. Krishna says to Arjuna, "Arjuna, get down from the chariot," he said. So Arjuna felt a little offended. Why is this like this? Normally Krishna get down and opens the door for me. But today Krishna says to me, "Arjuna, get down from the chariot," he said. So when Arjuna got down from the chariot, and told him to move away a little bit from the chariot, 10 or 15 meters away from there, Arjuna thought there must be something going to happen. Arjuna moved away. As soon as Krishna got down from the chariot, the whole chariot got burned into ashes completely. That Agnayastram, which was shot on the 4th or 5th day by Drona, that was held under control by Krishna, by his lotus feet inside the chariot, without allowing it to act. And that Arjuna has not forgotten. That is what is spoken here. Yadra yadro shumampanahidam guru bhishma karnam draunitrigartha shailam saindhava balhigadyaihi astran amogha mahimani nirubidani novasprashar mheridasam ivasurani saute vadakumadin alpadam isharumi yel padavalpam abhav alpadavalpam bhavaya bhajandi bhavyam maam shandavahramayo radhino bhavisham na praharan yadinu bhava nirastajitaham. Then when the war was happening, one instance what happened was that Arjuna was in serious difficulty, and Arjuna had to give water to the horses, and it was an opportunity when Arjuna could have been killed by the opposition, by the Kauravas. That was a good opportunity. But what made them not to kill Arjuna at that time? Arjuna is remembering that if it was not Krishna's mercy, if Krishna has not controlled them and put them in illusion like that, I could not have done that. I would have been finished on that day. So different days what happened in the Mahabharata war, Arjuna was remembering. Narma, and then after that finally Arjuna concludes like this. Narma nivara rujirasmida shobhidani he partha he Arjuna sakhe kurunandanedi samjalpidani naradeva hridisprashani smarturulludhandi hridayam mama madhavasyam. Then Krishna, Arjuna is remembering the days he had with Krishna, always joking each other. Narma anyudara rujirasmida shobhidani, always smiling and always joking, never shown any anger towards Arjuna any time, always in a very pleasing disposition with Arjuna. Arjuna was enjoying that company. He partha he Arjuna sakhe kuru nandanedi, always addressing me as partha Arjuna sakhe kuru nandana. In that way Krishna has always addressed me. And then sanjalpidani naradeva hridis prashandi, when I think about that, all what has happened in those days between us, smartorallu dhandi hridayam mama madhavasya, the end of my madhava, where that madhava has gone, mama madhavasya, my madhava, where has he gone? Arjuna is now remembering and feeling that separation very, very strongly in his heart. Arjuna was speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj at that time. Shaya asanalana vigathana bhojanani shvaikyada yasya kudavani de vipralabdhaha sakhyu sakheva pidhuvattana yasya sarvam sehe mahan mahidaya kumatera khamme. Then while sleeping, while traveling, while playing and while eating, all this time we were together. Arjuna and Krishna was together. That's why I say, Shaya asanadana vigathana bhojanani aikyada yasya kadavana de vipralabdha sakhyu sakheva pridhuvittana yasya sarvam. Not only that, not only he treated me like a friend, sometimes even like a father. with a fatherly affection also, father to the son, that kind of affection has come from Krishna's to me, and all that is now over. In that way, Arjuna has spoken so many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna. From all these things, we have to remember that if Krishna has spoken about Arjuna as Pandavanam Dhananjaya, is there any wonder why he has not spoken like this? You can imagine that no one else among the Pandavas had this relationship with Krishna like this. Pandavanam Dhananjaya, that Arjuna and Krishna were so close in everything, that throughout all these different instances, what has happened to Arjuna through the Mahabharata war and prior to that, all this is only to indicate to us that the attachment for Arjuna in Krishna's heart was so strong that not at all surprising in Bhagavad Gita when he said, Pandavanam Dhananjaya, among the Pandavas, I am Dhananjaya. That is how Krishna spoke about that. Now we'll go back to Bhagavad Gita. We have got another 10 minutes. So, Dando Vrishninam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjaya Muninam Apiham Vasa Kavi Kavyasa Kavinam Ushanakavi. So, Vrishninam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjaya Muninam Apiham Vyasa Kavinam Ushanakavi. Then, Dando Odamayadamasmi Nidirasmi Jagishadam Maunam Jaivasmi Gukhyanam Yanam Yanavadamaham. Then, here Krishna says, Dando Damayadamasmi. When somebody is chastised by by the Yama or by punishment, Dandam, Krishna says, that rod of chastisement, I am that. Krishna says, Dandam Damayada Amasmi, then Nidirasmi Jagishadam. Then also Krishna says that Nidirasmi Jagishadam Maunam Jaivasmi Gukhyanam Yanam Yanavadamaham. Then Nidirasmi Jagishadam, then whenever the justice is executed, and at that time when the chastisement is done, that chastisement is me, Krishna says. That one has to understand like this. And then, Maunam Chaiva Asmi Guhyanam. Maunam Chaiva Asmi Guhyanam. Among all the secret things, I am silence, Krishna says. Why does Krishna say like that? Among all the secret things, I am silence, Krishna says. The reason for that is, the silence is also a very important thing. I don't know whether you have thought about this, because through silence a lot of things happens in this world. There is a famous way of instruction through silence. For example, Lord Shiva in Dakshinamurti form, Lord Shiva instructs the sages. How does he instruct? If you see that, you will see there how, if you see the description, you will notice there, Lord Shiva sits there in his yogic posture. All the great sages like Vasishtha, Vishwamitra and so many great personalities comes and sits in front of him. He is in samadhi, he sits there, he doesn't speak one word to the sages. Sages comes and sits there in samadhi, also in samadhi, and they don't speak to each other. After some time, Lord Shiva gets up and walks away, they also get up and walks away. But the transcendental message has been transmitted already between them, between the Lord Shiva and the sages. That has already happened. That is through maunam. Through silence it has been done. So, maunam chaiva asmi guhyanam. It says like that. Maunam chaiva asmi guhyanam yanam yanavadamaham. What does this silence mean? Actually, silence means, strictly speaking, silence is not meditating on sense gratification. That is not silence. Real silence is when the mind is under complete control without any kind of material desires. That nature of the mind is silence. That is silence. With free from all kinds of material desires, and that kind nature, position is properly silence. Maunam. What maunam is referred to is that. Maunam jayvasma guhyanam yanam yanamadamaham. So, in order to understand that, what does this mean? Because this maunam is sometimes difficult for us to perceive. So, the way to express that is, it happens in other areas also. For example, once an art teacher, he called his students and he told them, gave them all a piece of paper, a nice sheet of paper, and told them to draw a picture. So the picture was like this. He said to them that the picture I want to be drawn is that there is a nice green field full of grass, and a cow has come and is eating the grass. He is eating the grass. And try to picture this as best as you can in your picture, so that when one sees that, he gets that proper perception of the picture. So what you do normally through silence also, through silence you can convey the message to somebody. In some instance in life, it's better to be silent, not to say anything. So if you keep silent, probably that is enough, the message will get through. So similarly, in this case also, this is what he wanted, the art teacher wanted. So everybody draw pictures, everybody drew the picture. Someone draw the picture nicely of the grass and the cows eating the grass, and he brought it to him. He looked at it and he said, no, this is no good. He said, it's not conveying the message what I wanted. He said, what I wanted, the message is not conveying, he said. He gave it back to him. Somebody else brought another picture saying that the grass was all gone, the cow was standing there without any, not knowing which way to go. You know how the cows, after eating a lot of grass, they'll be standing looking here and there. So that kind of picture. So he says, no, this is also wrong. He says, give it back. So eventually, finally one person brought a picture back, just a plain sheet of paper, and he gave it to him. After all these experiments. So the art teacher asked him, where is all the grass? He says, cow is eaten. He says, so where is the cow? Do you think after eating the grass, cow will stay there? He would have just gone home. So there is nothing to be drawn. Here is the picture, he says. That's the picture. So that picture, according to him, represents this. Cow has come, eaten the grass and gone away. So similarly, through this silence also, sometimes you can convey the message, what you want to convey. That is what Krishna, this maunam means. Maunam chaiva asma guhyanam jnanam jnanamadamaham. That in the, in the knowledge, Krishna says, I am knowledge. Krishna says, the knowledge of the jnanis, I am that. Krishna says, now we have three or four verses more to finish this. We'll try. Yachabi sarva bhudanam bijam dadaham arjuna. Verse 39, chapter 10. Yachabi sarva bhudanam bijam dadaham arjuna. Ma tadasti vinayal syanmaya bhudam characharam. In this verse, Krishna says that in this creation only me exist, nothing else exists at the end. Why? I am the seed of everything. Echabi sarva bhudanam bijam dadaham arjuna na tadasti vina ayalsyal maya bhudam charajaram. Because only because of me that all the other living entities are functioning in this world. Without Krishna's help, support from us within as super soul, we will not be able to execute anything in this world. In other words, we are dead matter without Krishna's presence in us, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is stressing there. So what to talk about all the vibhutis? Krishna says to Arjuna, except me, if you understand properly, it is only me who exists in this whole creation. The whole creation is functioning, moving on from day to day. It's only because of my presence there. Krishna says like that. That means the actual real truth is only Krishna. Everything else is the living entity including us, or actually the under the influence of maya. Nandosti mamadhi vyanam vibhudinam panandava ega udeshada prokto vibhudera vistarayomayam. Krishna's opulences are unlimited and it cannot be completed by speaking anything. Krishna says, and what all I have spoken here is only a very very minute part of the whole vibhudis. And billions of universes coming from Krishna, that, and that is, out of that, this opulence is what I have spoken of, is only a small part. Because after all, in order to give you an impression of my vibhudis, or my opulences, I have brought about some items so that you can meditate on them. Only for the, to help Arjuna to meditate on Krishna's opulences. Krishna says, I have spoken a few of them. Yadyad vibhudimal sattvam srimadurjitam evava tatta deva avagachatvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. Eventually Krishna is concluding saying that whatever opulences, power, courage, tejas, everything, whatever you see here, always remember that it has come from me. It's because of my presence that is shining in this world. because all of them are Krishna's vibhudis, Krishna's different opulences. Wherever you find them, you should take them as, and whenever you see anything great in this world, anywhere, any opulence in any form, immediately you should think that it is Krishna that is manifesting there, shining forth through that individual. Athava bahunaidena kim jnadena tava arjuna vishtabhyaham idam kastam ekam shena stito jagal. After all, Krishna says to Arjuna, what is the need to review my opulences further and further? How is it going to help you? And only you should realize that this creation, what you are perceiving here, is only a very, very minute part of my whole creation. So in this way, Krishna completes that chapter of 10, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishads of Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastra, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Vibhuti Yoga Nama, Deshamodhyayam. So it's 22:8. We'll stop there, and next Sunday we will continue with the 11th chapter. We'll start from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.